Shall we turn now in our Bibles to page 889, Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. And we'll read together verses 1 through 13, and then I will read the rest so I don't overwork you. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 23, 1 through 13, we read together, then I will read the rest. Let us begin. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you have received from me is korban, that is, a gift of God,' then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you handed down, and many such things you do." I will read the rest now. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" And he said to them, "What comes out of a man that defiles him? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man." May God bless his words to our hearts as we hear them proclaimed today. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, a Roman Catholic will likely be angrier with you if you violate Lent. That's that 40 days prior to Easter, than if you violate the Sabbath. In fact, many Roman Catholic churches have put worship services on Saturday so people will have Sunday free. A Roman Catholic bishop will likely be angrier with a priest if that priest married than if he committed abuse of children. And we know this based on the serious punishment that is put upon someone who is married, and the lesser punishment that is put upon one who is guilty of abuse. A Pentecostal will likely be angrier with you if you drink alcohol than if you misuse God's name. Even evangelical Christians will likely be angrier with you if you refuse to say Merry Christmas than if you take the 10 laws out of the schools. That's not limited to them as well. A Reformed Christian will likely be angrier with you if you don't quickly read the Bible at the dinner table. As long as you eat, you must read the Bible, close it and put it away, instead of taking your time and reading the Bible carefully and explaining the doctrines and applying it to the lives of people, because there's that desire. You've got to read the Bible. All of these are examples, indeed, of hypocrisy, where tradition is loved more than truth. But hypocrisy in the church is not new. And one of the ways you see this is when the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees in particular, substituted God's law for their made-up traditions. And this is what you will hear about today. Our headings are: Jesus excoriated, or scolded if you prefer, by the Pharisees. Second, Jesus exposed the Pharisees' hypocrisy. And then third, Jesus explained the Pharisees' hypocrisy. The first one he does to the Pharisees themselves, and the second time he does it to his people when he explained the parable. Our goals are that you will work to make sure that your hearts are clean and humble before God and fit for service, rather than be preoccupied with fake worship. First, then, Jesus excoriated by the Pharisees, scolded. After the feast in Jerusalem, the feast that many skipped so they could go and listen to Jesus all day when he fed the 5,000 men, the Pharisees then looked for a way to attack Jesus. Surely the priests in Jerusalem lost a lot of money and maybe gifts that the worshipers would have taken to Jerusalem if they had gone there to celebrate instead of going to listen to Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. So the Pharisees then looked for an opening to attack Jesus. And when his disciples did not wash their hands before they ate, contrary to Jewish tradition, they said, "Aha, we've got one now." Now, washing hands is good policy. You teach your children to do this. But the Pharisees were not demanding hand washing for cleanliness. It wasn't to remove bacteria and viruses. They were demanding hand washing for tradition. The problem was that this washing, this tradition, was not prescribed by God. It was not a law. It was simply a tradition. By the way, there is one important side note on this. This type of washing was developed in history because the Jews wanted to put a hedge around God's law. A hedge was an extra level of protection used for fear of breaking God's law. For example, the Jews refused to use the name of God. That was the hedge. Why? Because they thought that that would prevent them from misusing God's name. So from fear of misusing God's name, they said, "Let's not use it at all." They made the hedge even wider than what God intended. And that's where the problem developed. So how was this tradition of washing hands, which the Pharisees made into law, observed? If a Jew went to the marketplace, he would have to wash his hands. And why? Well, the case wasn't because he had picked up germs, but because he might have touched a Gentile. Or he might have touched something that was considered impure. Maybe somebody had a duck there and he touched that duck and therefore he was considered to be impure. So it was a case about a ceremonial uncleanness, not a real uncleanness. So when he went back home, someone or he himself would pour water on his wrist or on his hands from his wrist down. The Pharisees had other traditions as well, like washing of cups and pitchers and copper vessels and couches. See that word in your text, couches. The Old King James, for people who like that, the Old King James says tables, but it does not mean tables. That's wrong. Bad translation in the Old King James Bible there. It's really couches. And while there's nothing wrong with traditions, treating traditions as laws, that was what was wrong. That hedge around was, if you wanted to put a hedge around, there's one thing that's personal, but you're not to impose that or make that into a law, that everyone had to wash their hands when they came in from the marketplace. Interesting, before we go on, the word here for washing of the couches and all of that is the word baptizo, or baptizing. And we can conclude that this was not a literal washing like an immersion. Why? Because no one will take their bed and immerse their bed every time they touch something that was unclean and said, well, we got to put the whole bed in the ground. Remember, those beds were made often from natural fibers. And can you imagine how illogical that would be to immerse your bed? But the sprinkling or the pouring of some water on it was symbolic of becoming clean. And it would have been especially difficult if you had to baptize everything by immersion every time you came from the marketplace. That would make use up a lot of water, something that was quite scarce in a country that was largely desert. Or big part was desert for sure. But because they saw Jesus' disciples, the Pharisees, they saw Jesus' disciples did not wash their hands according to their ceremonies and their traditions, they excoriated Jesus. They scolded him for not keeping the traditions. And with all the things that were happening in the world at that time, the lust for money, because Jerusalem was a center of commerce, it was a big city at that time. With the worship of the idols of Rome, of Jews starting to join with Rome in worship, the Pharisees instead were concerned about breaking of a meaningless tradition. They ignored the laws of Moses and exalted their own traditions. And Jesus warned about this kind of danger earlier in his ministry. The Pharisees did not have true righteousness. He said, if you look at your notes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, together, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Such was the problem. The Pharisees did not know Jesus. They did not believe in Jesus. They did not trust in Jesus, so they were still in their sins. A couple of lessons from this first point. Learn to draw the distinction between what is a tradition, even a nice tradition, and what is God's law that you must obey. And if you're not sure, ask. Talk to your elders. Do some research. So you know the difference between law and tradition. Laws you must keep. Traditions you may keep, if they are good. Second, don't impose your traditions, even if they are nice traditions, on others. Don't criticize those who reject your traditions, but graciously correct those who reject God's law. Important to draw that distinction. Right, there's some churches you find, there are people who will, pastors will stand here and they'll be wearing gowns. And there are others, the people will not be dressed with a tie. Or some places they have traditions of you have to have pews, some have pipe organs, some have no music whatsoever. Have to be careful that you don't impose or try to impose your tradition or things you might like. I was in Ukraine, and after preaching in the service, I'm looking for some coffee because there's a time difference that I can't get over. Well, there's no coffee there. There's only tea. Who wants to drink that? Well, some people do, right? Many of you drink more tea than you drink coffee. But be careful not to impose a tradition and treat it as if it's law. But they did not stop. They attacked Jesus because he didn't follow their tradition. Point number two then, Jesus then exposed the Pharisees' hypocrisy or he showed them, you can say, a better word, easier word to remember. The Lord Jesus showed the Pharisees their hypocrisy in two ways. First of all, he pointed out that the self-righteous, hypocritical Pharisees did not have the right heart to serve God, as Isaiah taught. God always required a sincere heart to accompany his worship. Your worship means nothing unless it comes from a good heart. And he was saying, no, your heart is far from me. Not even close. Your heart is far from me. Second, the self-righteous Pharisees pretended that the tradition was equal to or above the original laws of God. The hedge became the law. So when they would want to honor God's name, and they said, oh, we don't want to misuse God's name, let's put the hedge around it, let's not use his name at all, then they forbid the people from even mentioning the name. That's why you hear today some people say we should say Yahweh, some people Jehovah, and some other ways. We don't know anymore. Because the Jews hedged that they put around, that became the law. The tradition became the law. In fact, we see this in the Roman Catholic Church, where the tradition, in some cases, are taken as higher, as being higher than the law of God itself. Tradition supersedes God's law. But Jesus then gave an illustration, as good teachers often do, of how the Pharisees substituted God's law with their tradition, their man-made traditions. And consider the illustration that he used. He said, Moses in the law commanded children to honor their parents. All of you children know that. Command number 5, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor means much more than being polite and respectful. It means to care for them if they need something. But the Pharisees developed a tradition that said it was better to give to the temple than to their parents. The gift to God was better than the gift to the parents, is what they were saying. So children were taught that it was better to allow their parents to starve or to beg, so long as the children were giving their gifts to the priests and to the temple. Isn't that what a lot of television preachers do too? They try to get you to send a tithe to them, so that you will support their ministry. It's a way of undermining the church, isn't it? But love for your heavenly Father never requires that you hate your earthly father. In fact, if you love your heavenly Father, you will love your earthly father. You will care for your earthly father as well, and mother. And in substituting tradition for law, law for tradition, the Pharisees nullified God's word, denying the purpose of the word of God. The Pharisees, according to Jesus, were filled with hypocrisy. They were filthy. They're pretending that they were clean by sprinkling their hands and sprinkling their beds and sprinkling their pots and pans that they brought in from the marketplace. But Jesus saying, the heart was filthy. Your heart was not right. And you've made God's law nothing and raised up your tradition. So what lessons can we learn from how the Lord Jesus exposed the Pharisees' hypocrisy? First, a lesson on principle. Let God's word determine what is law. Don't make up laws and impose them on yourself or others, even on yourself. This hurts people and this dishonors God. Look to God's word. Can you say, thus says the Lord? I grew up in a church where, as a young kid, where the thought of a woman putting some makeup on or wearing lipstick, I mean, that was almost like you were 1 foot in hell. And don't talk about jewelry. You did that, you were condemned already. You could be excommunicated from the church if you wore a ring that wasn't a wedding band. Think of what that does, how that dishonors God. When God is the one who gave people jewelry, he said, who gave you the nose ring that you had to stick a hole in your nose to put on, right? What about those anklets and things you've got and the diadem hanging from your forehead? I give you all those things. Those earrings you have, those were my gifts to you. And yet, they became a tradition to put those things away. And those traditions then became law. God's word only must determine what is a law or not. Second, this principle of letting God's word determine what is law is particularly applicable to worship. You have to examine God's word to make sure that the church is worshiping consistently with the direction of God's word. Hear this now. Giving your best is not the standard for determining how to worship God. When people say, I just give my best. I just want to give my best to God. God didn't ask you for what you think is your best. He told you how you are to worship him. You have to be able to say, thus says the Lord. I'm doing this because God said so. Three, learn to care for your parents. If they are needy, don't ignore your starving parents to support missionary work. God will not bless that. If you love God, you will care for your parents, not ignore them. Four, reject bad traditions. Now, some traditions are, we say, innocuous. It doesn't matter. Some people like that, some people don't. And it's okay if people want to have that. And the joke about some of the Dutch churches I preached in, they have this kind of donut they have at New Year's Eve. Real sugary, oily, tasty stuff. But for some people, they look at that and think, I'm not going to put that in my mouth. That's fine tradition. It doesn't matter. They want to have it. They have it. You want to have tea? You can have your tea. There's nothing wrong with those. Those are innocuous. But you have to reject bad traditions, traditions that are sinful. And one of them that has become popular that I'm highlighting here is this idea of dedicating babies. Don't dedicate your babies. That was a pagan practice that has crept into the church. You baptize your babies. You put the mark of the covenant on them. The dedication of babies is when they would hold the babies and dedicate them to the river or to the gators in the river. Not. Don't dedicate your babies to God. I mean, you understand in the formal sense of the ritual. We do give our children to the Lord in his service. And in that good sense, yes, your children should be dedicated to God. But you don't go through that process. That's a tradition, but it's not what God's word says. We put the sign of the mark of the covenant upon our children, as you heard last week. Then we come to the third point. After rebuking the Pharisees and showing them how they had turned away from what was real God's law, really God's law, and substituted it with these traditions, Jesus then explained to his people how the Pharisees were bad. It's like a secondary step. He's saying, look, I'll explain to you even more carefully what these people are doing wrong here, that you don't fall for it. And that's the care the Lord Jesus has. He takes time to explain. So Jesus taught his disciples that obeying God's law from the heart was right, but trusting traditions, hedges around the law, were hurtful. And how so? Because traditions used in serving and worshiping God were only exterior things. So if a man eats food with ceremonially unwashed hands, there was no lasting impact. Man's body gets rid of things that he doesn't want, and life goes on. He's neither good nor bad if he eats with unwashed hands, ceremonially, of course. His worship is not better or worse. Even in the Old Testament, when men became unclean by touching ceremonially unclean things like dead bodies, that was simply to teach the need for spiritual purity. But you can still pray if you touched a dead person. You're not separated from God because you touched someone who was dead. The main point was that they were to live unclean. They were not to live and lead unclean lives. Further, obedience to the law, serving and worshiping God, has to come from the heart. So he warns them, look, this is all outside, but I want you, when you worship me, not with these formal things, these traditions, but to worship from the heart. So what comes out from the soul reflects what is in the heart, good or bad. So external traditions could never be a substitute for God's laws. To try to use traditions this way was harmful. You know, this is part of the problem. You think of an illustration of how people want to get married in the church. And not just Roman Catholics, but many other ministers would do this. Someone wants to get married in the church, sure. You pay the appropriate price and you'll set it up and they'll have people walking down the aisle and have the blessings of the Lord upon them. Well, that's... And they feel good because, oh, we were married in the church. Well, when was the last time you went to church before that? They couldn't tell you. When was the next time you're going to church? They couldn't tell you that either. But they're willing to do the tradition. You go through the tradition. And sometimes the churches are well willing to accommodate such wickedness. You ought to be able to say no. You've got to submit to God's law. To use traditions this way was harmful, sinful. And then Jesus gave the examples of what was coming from the Jewish leaders' hearts. He said, you look, really, look at what's coming from the heart of the Pharisees, the ones who are telling you, you didn't wash your hands before you ate. You didn't baptize your pots and pans and your beds. He says, look what's coming from the heart. And he lists a whole bunch of things. Are these people serving God? You see their evil thoughts coming out, their adulterous lifestyle, the fornications, that means all kinds of uncleanness, murders, though they didn't kill people directly, they often paid others to kill. They were stealing from parents by telling children, give your money to us, forget your parents. God wants you to send your money here, like that false prophet who told the other prophet of God, God changed his mind. An angel came and told me, you should come in and eat bread and drink water. Covetousness. It's interesting, too, that covetousness that is used here is in the plural. Covetousnesses, meaning that there are all kinds of improper desires. Wickedness flowing from their hearts. Deceit in their scheming. Lewdness. You listen to their language and lifestyle when you see them outside of the temple. It's completely inconsistent. They have an evil eye, watching to see what harm they could do. Blasphemous words come from their lips. They don't seem to care about the holiness of God. They're full of pride by their virtue of their position and their foolishness, meaning they disregard God's existence altogether. That's what's coming from the hearts of these people who are saying, oh, you need to wash your hands. Sprinkle them with water. Pour some water on them. Baptize your couches. And he said, look what's coming from the heart. What a warning that was to his people. So what lessons was Jesus teaching? First of all, just as Jesus rebuked those who were his enemies and taught those who are his children, so should you. Being politically correct might make people in Canada like you. And we love to be politically correct and be liked by other people. But if you refuse to confront sin in people's lives, you are wrong. It is nice to have many friends and have them say nice things about you. But what kind of friend are you if you let your friend die and go to hell thinking that everything is good with his soul? Or what kind of friend would you be if you left your Christian friends in a state of shallow Christianity? Live and let live is not for the Christian. Live for Jesus is for the Christian. Bring the lost in. Improve those who are Christians. That's what Jesus was doing here. He rebuked the Pharisees. You better change your ways, you wicked hypocrites. Your heart needs a transplant. And then he explains to his people, watch your heart. Don't be fooled by traditions. Watch your heart. So Jesus lovingly rebuked and encouraged with love, and that's what you should do. Second, traditions without the sincere heart for worshiping God is a sure or a recipe for judgment. God hates fakers. Traditions should never be a substitute for a sincere heart. Third, you must regularly examine your heart to make sure that you love God's law and desire to worship Him as He commands. This is something to do regularly. Stop. Too busy. Stop and reflect. Are we worshiping God in our church here, in our families, in our personal lives? Are we making sure that we know and love God's law? If you don't know the Ten Commandments off the top of your head, you can't love God. You need to know God's law. Not only that, you need to know the spirit of those 10 laws, the intention. If you don't know the intention of the laws, you can't obey. And how do you show love for God? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You don't know it, you can't love. So you need to examine your hearts, make sure that God's love is in you. That means His law must be there. Oh, how I love thy law, the psalmist says, and make it my study once in a while. No, all the day long. He says, when I'm on my bed, I meditate upon your laws. I think about it, how I can obey. As opposed to traditions that we can get hung up about, the psalmist looks to God's law. Let's summarize and conclude. First, the self-righteous Jews excoriated or scolded Jesus because his disciples were not following their made-up tradition of washing their hands before they ate so they could be ceremonially clean. But Jesus exposed the hypocrisy of their accusations, for they were only concerned about the non-essential traditions but cared little for faithful obedience to the law. Their hearts were corrupt, but they wanted to look good. We're following the law. We're doing the religious thing. We got married in the church idea. And Jesus then explained to his people how the Pharisees were hypocrites, and thereby encouraging them to keep the law and worship him from the heart. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, examine your life regularly to make sure that traditions don't take the place of faithful obedience to the law. Second, even if you obey God's law, you must search your heart to make sure that you do the things with the right motive to please the Savior. You see, you can have ritual obedience as well. You can faithfully come to church every Sunday, but if your heart isn't right with God, what use would it be? Your worship will be unacceptable. So you do have to worship God like He says, but you also have to worship Him with the right heart. Outward actions are not enough. And third, if you want to have the right motive for what you do, you need to regularly reflect on what Christ has done for you. You see how all sermons come back to the cross? Look at the cross and see the suffering of the Savior. What you will do is you will roll back the curtains of memory now and then, and you'll see where he brought you from and where you could have been. Only this will humble you. Only this will make sure that you obey God's law and do so with a right heart and shrug off those frivolous traditions that can overwhelm. And finally, while you should obey the law with a clean heart, you don't have a clean heart if you're not a Christian. Your heart needs to be spiritually washed in the blood of Jesus, the one who died in the place of sinners. So why not ask God to wash you with the blood of Jesus, as you are not able to please him, even with your good traditions? Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words and what your words mean to us. Forgive us, Father, for falling into the trap of routine, just blind traditions, thinking that somehow that will please you. Help us to look deeper, to make sure our hearts are right with you, and that we know your law, and that we love your law, and that we obey your law. Lord, if there's any wicked way in us, show us that we can clean it out and live humbly before you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.